Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to hear your voice this morning and for the seed of the word. Lord, there's so many people around the world that gets a hold of this message. You are able to sow this same word into their heart, Lord, and change lives. That's our goal, is change people's lives. Yes. Give them something, an anchor for their life, Lord. And we thank you for the privilege and honor we have of being a part of that, a part of what you are doing in this earth today, Father. We set ourselves in agreement with your word. We set ourselves to humbly receive what you present for us today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak through me and through us as we join our hearts together today. We receive this in thanksgiving in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, the indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God.
I'll never be the same.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name. Amen. We're never the same. Anytime we open God's Word, we're never the same. Anytime we see a promise and we determine to walk in that promise, we've changed. Every time we see the promise, we don't walk in it, we're never the same.
That's right.
You know, the Word changes us every moment of our life.
Amen.
And that's why it's so important for us to be studying fruitfulness. That's how I got over there. We've been studying in this particular section, recognizing the fruits of righteousness and the fruits of unrighteousness. The last couple of weeks, that's what we've been studying. We have studied 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and Proverbs 4, 20 through 27, John 8, 31 through 32, and John 15, 7 in this section is what that's what we've talked about so far. We ended with John 15, 7, and we're going to start off in Galatians 6 today. As a little bit of a form of review, as we all know through over the past few months that we've been studying fruit, that the fruit that we produce is love, because God is love. As he is, so are we in this world. So, and we're created in the image of God. So God being the noun love, we are born of him. We also are love. First John 4 tells us that, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. So if our identity is love, as well as God's is love, then we need to produce love. To produce the fruit of love, we must know the word. And in order to be fruitful, we must continue in his word and be consistently constant. That's what we've been talking about last week. We talked about the abiding word, or what that means to abide in something and to remain. John 15, 7 says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Notice the words abide there, or live there, or stay there. Mm-hmm. The abiding word that remains in our heart is the one that produces the fruit. Mm-hmm. That's the one that brings forth the fruit. In Galatians chapter 6, we read, and verse 7, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions and professions, or by his precepts being set aside. Now, what's his precepts? Would be his commandments and his word, right? Mm-hmm. By being set aside, that means I'm not paying attention to them. I know it's there, but I'm choosing not to walk in it. I'm choosing not to obey that or conform my life to it. So I'm going to set that aside for my own will, mm-hmm. for my own purposes. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. Mm-hmm. In other words, a way of deluding God there in that context would be to say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm walking in your word, Lord, I love you, and all of this stuff, but not walk in his word. Mm-hmm. To walk in our carnal nature instead of our spiritual nature. Mm-hmm. To make decisions based on our carnal nature and on our carnal desires instead of basing our decisions on the Word of God and conforming to that. So we are trying to delude God in that, even though we can't. He deludes himself inevitably, tries to delude God. Then it says, for whatever. How much is whatever?
That's everything.
That's everything. It does not exclude anything. Mm-hmm. So whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. A sower sows the word. We've studied that in the past. Mm-hmm. What are we sowing? Whatever our actions do, we're sowing something. You know, you can say something and act another way. Uh-huh. You know, so the actions is what I said and what I do is what we sow.
Well, it says here in the Amplified in this verse you just read that he will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts mm-hmm. being set aside. We set aside is the same as in the book of Colossians where he said that he blotted out the handwriting of the note that was against us and nailed it to the cross. It also says in Amplified that it was set aside.
Mm-hmm.
That's a legal term that a judge can do. He can set something aside,
right,
a will
yes.
or a law or a judgment or something, mm-hmm. and that means you completely disregard it. It doesn't affect you anymore.
Right,
so if
exactly.
he's going to set aside God's precepts, that means he feels like his precepts are better and
exactly.
we don't have to obey God.
We are Christians, we're born again, but we're setting his mm-hmm. precepts aside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, it's one thing for somebody that's not born again to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's quite another for a Christian to do that is born again. Mm-hmm. And who's this letter to that Paul's writing? He's not writing to the lost, is he?
Mm-mm.
He's writing to the saved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's saying, whatever you're going to sow, saved man, that's what you're going to reap.
Right.
You can try to do life another way. You can try to live straddling the fence in both camps, mm-hmm. but it's not going to work. You're setting my commandments aside when you do that. I'm telling you, you are a love creature, mm-hmm. and you must walk in love.
Yes.
That's what he says. That's why we're created in his image. He is love, we are love. And I've said in the past, the same thing I'm saying here when I say for a Christian not to walk in love is abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying here. It's abnormal for you not to walk in love because you are born again. Not to walk in love and to know differently is to set the precept aside.
Mm-hmm.
So when I set that aside, I've sowed something.
Right.
That's why that putting said, well, what's sowing got to do with what he just said?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about here. Setting the precept aside. I've sowed something. I've set a path for my life here. I've made a quality decision by my own will to set aside a known will for my will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, am I making myself
right, yeah,
he's
yeah.
still talking about do's and don'ts. He's talking mm-hmm. about this is carnal nature, this is spiritual nature.
Mm-hmm.
You sow to the Spirit, you reap to the Spirit. We're going to get that in our next verse here. The part B of this scripture here in verse 7 of Galatians 6 says, for whatever a man sows. Now, who's doing the sowing? The man is, not God.
Mm-hmm.
That, and that only, is what he will reap. You can't sow one thing hoping to get another.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could put compromise in here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're expecting another crop, but you're sowing a different one. Can you not get compromise out of that? I can.
Sure.
Because if a man, out of that verse, chapter, verse 7 there, because what I'm trying to do is get a result.
Mm-hmm.
So I compromise. I set aside the precept or the mm-hmm. commandment to manipulate this person into doing something. Okay? Instead of loving. I'm trying to get a different result. I'm trying to get the results without walking in the commandment.
Uh-huh.
I'm compromising here in this area. I'm setting aside a precept to manipulate something into happening.
Exactly.
So what I compromise to keep, as one minister says, what you compromise to keep, you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. That's what he's saying here. If you compromise here, you're going to reap what you compromised for. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get something else. Mm-hmm. What you sowed over here is what you're going to reap.
Bad fruit.
It's just the way it is. That's a spiritual law. It's the law of Genesis, which says everything produces after its own kind.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to produce after our own time. If we're walking in our carnal nature, guess what we're going to reap? If we're sowing discord, disunity, anger, fear, worry, if that's what we're putting out here, then that's what we're going to reap. Mm-hmm. If we want the product, the fruits of love, then we're going to have to sow that.
Yes, yes.
If I want to be loved, I'm going to have to love. Mm-hmm. If I want to have compassion on me, I'm going to have to sow compassion. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. If I want to reap what God says, then I'm going to have to sow what God says. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So see, it's going to produce after its own kind. It's a law. Whether you're born again or not, that same law works.
That's right.
It just works stronger for the Christian because he is a faith being. And whatever he does, he's applying faith to because that's who he is. He's a believer. Mm-hmm. So when he sows something, even if it's contrary to the word, he's believing something here to do it. It's part of his breathing. He's a believer. He believes. So when he sows that discord, he's believing it's going to result in something. And it does. Discord. So, you know, it's the power is working through us.
Yes.
Because amen. We're born again. Mm-hmm. We have life within us. So whatever we do produces quicker. Mm-hmm. Especially right. Where love is concerned or discord is concerned, because we are believers. That's what Satan likes to do. He likes to tap into our faith because we're faith beings. To get us to do his work for him.
Uh-huh. That's the only way he can do it.
100 unbelievers who don't believe anything, mm-hmm, is not as strong as 10 believers who do.
Right.
You know, so these guys are believers. That's who they're created to be. That's where their life is at. That's what they do. They believe. Mm-hmm. So 10 non-believers, they don't believe anything. It's hard for him to get them to do anything. But if he can deceive a believer, he can get a lot more done with a deceived believer. Get more damage done with a believer that's deceived. Because there's life in him. Okay. That's why he likes us to do his work for us.
Yeah. Right.
So, and we're so dumb we don't even see that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What would you do? Would you work with the 100 unbelievers or the one believer over here? Mm-hmm. If you were him, what would you do? You want to get some work done here. So you deceive this guy, you can cover some ground here.
Spoil a bunch of stuff.
You know? So think about it. Anyway. So for whatever a man, he's a man, mm-hmm, and he sows it. Mm-hmm. In Mark and Matthew talks about the sower sows the word. Jesus' parable. He sows the word. The word produces the harvest. And it produces a certain type of a yield. Whatever the man is believing and acting on, that's the amount of harvest he will have. Verse 8. For, so that's related to the last part, for whatever man sows, that is that and that only is what he will reap. Verse 8. For, so it's related to that, he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. Mm-hmm. So if you want decay, ruin, and destruction, mm-hmm, what do you sow? You sow fleshly or carnally. Mm-hmm. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Mm-hmm. Man. And verse 9, which we're going to talk about later on, we're going to talk about being wary later. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we will reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. That is the issue and the problem we have. Most of us Christians were not consistently constant. We waver, don't we? We don't take the Word of God and use it as an anchor when the troubles and turmoils and opportunities to turn or to choose something other than that or to relax or grow weary, when those opportunities come our way, we don't use the Word for our anchor and stand. See, the Word's supposed to be our anchor. If we're not in the Word, how can it be our anchor? If we're not applying the Word in this circumstance or situation we're in, how can it be our anchor? We're so lazy. honestly, as Christians, you listen to our prayers. Just listen to them. Oh God, would you please? Don't you see? Yes, he sees, and he's standing there with his arms behind his back, waiting on you to say something he can work with. And the only thing he can work with is the word he's already given him. It's the same way with the angels. They hearken to the voice of his word. The voiced word, the spoken word. If I'm not taking the commandment and speaking it, they have nothing to work with. Oh God, would you please do something? He can't till you do something. One of my missions, I think, in life, and especially where I myself is concerned, is to tell people you are involved in everything God does, no matter what it is. You are involved. You're the one that authorizes, because you are a man species, and you're here in the earth, and you are a believer. If you do not love, you will not produce love. If you do not get in the word and declare something and believe that and stand on it, you will not reap. It's just that simple. And we get so down on faith ministries. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God, the word says. Why? Because faith and trust are synonymous terms. If I don't trust God, if I don't trust his word, how can I reap from it? It's so simple. That's one of the tools the enemy uses. Yes. He tries to point out faith ministries. Or we try to put it over in a category as these are faith people. Well, what are you, unfaith people?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Do we have a part gospel, a half gospel, a quarter gospel, or is it the gospel?
Right.
What is the gospel? I ask myself sometimes. You see that word, go forth and preach the gospel to all the world. Well, have you ever asked what the gospel is? Is it there's fire and brimstone coming if you don't get saved? That's not the gospel. That's not it. It's a result, but it's not the gospel. What is the gospel? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What we've been talking about, the fruit of love, that's the gospel.
Yes.
Showing the character and the love and the heart and the mercy and the grace of God. That's the gospel.
Yes.
Anything other than that is not the gospel. I don't care if you can show it in the Bible. It's not the gospel. It's a result of being a believer or an unbeliever. It's a result of not walking in the Word and not loving my Father. It's in here, and it is a result. The do's, the don'ts are in here. They're a result, but the don'ts are not the gospel.
Right.
You're going to go to hell, you dirty dog, if you don't get saved. That's not the gospel. It's a result of not getting saved. Getting saved from what? Yes, I got to declare the fire and brimstone, but I don't have to spend much time there. I have to spend... You never, very seldom will you hear me talk about that, because it's not the gospel.
Right.
It's a result. But maybe I'm dumb, or maybe I'm strange, or maybe I'm just different. But to me, if you tell me about the love of God, and I choose that, why do I have to worry about the fire and brimstone?
That's right.
I mean, that's not the message. It's just simply not. The love, kindness, grace, mercy of God. Who is God? What's his character? Why did he do these things? That's the gospel. And that's what you hear Jesus preaching when he went through the, through the earth. That's what we're sent into all the world to preach. Not how to eat with a knife and fork. I'm sorry. It's just nicer to do that, but it's not necessary. Okay? The gospel is I can go free from anything because of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
That's the gospel. For God so loved the world. Or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the gospel. Okay? Is the others present in the Bible? It's there, but it's not the gospel. It's pointing out the gospel. It's leading us to the gospel. Okay, it's showing us the results of not walking in the gospel, but it's not the gospel. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I've not heard anybody talk about that, but I ask questions: who, what, when, where, and why. I always have done that. I take words out and I want to know why that word's there. Why is it used? Because It makes a difference.
Uh-huh.
Just like this does here. What am I to sow? I'm to sow that. I'm to sow the gospel wherever I go. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to reap? The gospel.
Yes.
Not only in my own life, but in other people's lives. That's what I'm going to be reaping. I'm going to see a harvest. A harvest, and I mentioned this some time back before this CD, getting people saved is not the fruit. It's the result of the fruit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we got to determine the difference between the two, because if I'm just not walking this word at all, but I present it to someone, mm-hmm. that someone receives what I said. Mm-hmm. I didn't get him saved. I'm not involved. I'm just a messenger. Mm-hmm. I presented the truth. What did God work with? He worked with the man's heart and his seeking and the word that was presented. Now, if getting people saved was a fruit, then I could say I just had some fruit even though I'm not walking with God. And I didn't. The Holy Spirit worked with the word in the man's heart. Maybe he was in the depths of sin and depravity and angry and mean and mad at the world, but that word entered into his heart.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything to change other than be there. I'm a pipeline.
Right.
And good things do flow through bad pipelines sometimes. But God wants to get to that person, okay, in his heart cry. And I can go on down the road and be my old nasty self and think I've done something and I haven't done anything. Hmm. I was just the one present and I had a knowledge that the guy needed and God used me just like he did the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
But the prophet. Okay, so we got to get some better knowledge of who we are in Christ and why we are here and what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be walking in love. That is our fruit. And anything that we do contrary to that hinders that fruit and keeps us out of who we really are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that really suffers is not only ourselves, but the connections we have throughout our daily life, because we're not seeing the fruit. And when if that guy does get saved and he's using me as a pattern, mm-hmm. and I'm not walking with God,
mm-hmm.
where is he going to go? What's he going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
So see, hopefully, the guy will listen to the Holy Spirit that drew him to the Father anyways, and he'll get over into here. He'll see the right life. And somebody else will come along and be his teacher and impart to his life.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so this is important. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature and sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart and grow weary. That weary, that end is connected to the other one. Okay, let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we will reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So our ability to stand is also related to what we sow.
Mm-hmm.
The farmer sows the word, sows the seed. He waits for the harvest. He stands.
Mm-hmm.
He does what's needed, what's his part. Now, what happens when we do not stand? Let's go to James chapter 1, and we'll see a person. And again, these letters are to Christians, so we're talking to Christians. James chapter 1, okay, in verse 5. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask. Notice the guys involved here. He has to ask for it. Ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone. To how many? He gives to everyone. Liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Okay, so this guy is coming to the Father. He's deficient in wisdom. He knows he needs something here, and he doesn't have enough knowledge, enough wisdom to fulfill what he's doing. He needs wisdom. So he's asking of God. Now, he's coming to a God, and if we think that God's going to find fault in me,
mm-hmm.
I can't come to God. I need wisdom here, but I can't come. I've done this, that, and that over there. I've not behaved right. Well, repent and come to God.
Amen.
But he says here, he does not have fault finding. He gives if you ask him. But if you are going through all of those things, if you are in all of those sins and stuff, what's the wisdom he's going to give to you first? I want wisdom for accomplishing this major task. Is he going to go right to that with wisdom? If you're in all those sins, what's he going to give you wisdom for first? For that. Why? Because that's what's keeping you out. That's what's putting you in a position that you can't hear. Even if he gave you the word, you wouldn't understand it and you wouldn't apply it. You'd you'd stay right where you were and blame God for it not coming to pass.
Right.
So the first place he goes is to the problem, the root of the situation. He'll say, I'll give you the wisdom, but what you'll find when you ask God for wisdom in a certain circumstance, you're pointed and aimed at something, all of a sudden your issues and problems start becoming more apparent. God didn't answer me. I'm in worse shape now than I was before. No. You're more aware of the real issue now because he's getting you there. But this has to be answered first.
Amen.
First of all, you won't understand him when he gives you the wisdom if you don't deal with this stuff.
That's right.
And when he does give you the wisdom, you won't hear him because you're listening from a carnal angle. So he's got to get you over here spiritually minded so you can get the wisdom for accomplishing what he wants you, what you're wanting to do.
What a revelation.
So you can fine tune it. Mother's been talking about ask, seek, and knock. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy here, he's asking, I need wisdom here. But he's got all these issues and problems. Mm-hmm. So he thinks he needs this, so he asks. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now the seeking comes along because now the Holy Spirit's working.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is involved in the seeking angle as much as you are. Mm-hmm. As you seek, it says, seek and ye shall find. So the Holy Spirit's busy showing you things as you're seeking it, but you haven't got to the knocking part yet. So you're in the process of seeking. You've already asked. You've got a goal. You ask. Now you're stepping into the seeking, and the Holy Spirit and you are busy in that section. Mm-hmm. Now after a certain time, if you are diligent and faint not and grow weary, you find the door.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now what do you do with the door? Your specific door, a door. Before you thought you had the door when you asked for the wisdom, but it may not apply. Mm-hmm. It may be even something else. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the fine-tuning process takes place during the seeking. Now you knock on that door. And who opens it? The Lord does. Mm-hmm. Because you are at a specific door, based on the promise, that door opens and it cannot be shut by man.
Amen.
You're not knocking on God's door. He's a partner with you in the seeking process. Mm-hmm. You arrive at the door at the same time, you and the Father. Mm-hmm. And when you knock, He opens. Mm-hmm. But you can stand there forever at the door. Do all the asking and all the seeking and standing in front of the door, the specific door, that you found during the seeking process. If you don't knock, you knock with the word.
Right.
If you don't bind and loose and declare at that door, he can't open it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't open it. That's why it's a door. It's keeping you out. God's not the door you're knocking on.
Right.
You're knocking on the goal, the circumstance, the desired results, the result of the seeking. That's the door you're knocking on. And when you knock on it, the Holy Spirit says, okay, old door, you will open. My son is knocked. He declared the word. Now the angels go to work. The Holy Spirit goes to work. That's part we talked about in Galatians chapter 6 and 7 back there. That's the process. You sowed the seed. You declared. You stayed steady. You did not grow weary. The door's in front of you. The Holy Spirit's fine-tuned. You're hearing and listening. It's based on the word and the promise, and you stand in the door, whatever it is. It's the door and the mountain that Jesus is talking about are synonymous. The door represents a block, a place where you're going that you cannot get to on your own. It's sealed up and locked. You cannot carnally go through that door.
Right.
So, and the mountain, It can be sickness, disease, fear, worry. It can be all kinds of different things. Whatever your mountain is, whatever your door is, these two scriptures go together. What did Jesus say? Speak to the mountain. Well, what do you say to it? The Word. It has to conform to the Word. You can't take the Word out of what you're doing. It's involved in every area of our life. It's part of who we are. It everything's made from the Word. Everything. And we ask God to use something other than that? Well, yeah, we have to be faith beings. It doesn't work any other way. We're functioning in faith even if we think we don't. The people that don't, their so-called faith message, they try to step out of the faith message into what? Whatever kind of message is there? But whatever that message is, you know, they're trying to step into that and trying to get results. Well, no, they're not going to get results because there isn't anything else. There's only two camps. There's belief and unbelief, God and the devil. Spiritually minded, carnally minded. There's only two. So this guy that's knocking on this sealed up door or talking to his mountain, there's only one thing that will work on it, and that's the Word.
Yeah.
As I take a hold of the Word, and as a believer, I apply it, and then I, like you were talking about, stand there for it. Standing on this Word, I'm not moving. But how can you stand on something you don't have? See, we want to do standing without something to stand on. So when you go to somebody, you say, well, what scripture are you standing on? The Word. But which, what Word? You know, when I ask, I got a specific goal that I want. It's my goal, okay? A desire or a place or whatever, it's a desire. But it may not be correct. So now I seek, the next step is seek. I'm listening. I'm in the Word. I'm going through the pages. I'm praying. I'm listening. Holy Spirit, enlighten my understanding. Guide me. Give me wisdom. Now, God can answer that prayer because I'm seeking, okay? As long as I'm seeking, Word promises I will find. Okay? So I've got this process going. He points out the scriptures related. He points out the things, the hindrances, like all these things he lists here in James chapter 1, verse 5. All these things that hinder me. He points those out, and as I deal with them, I'm starting the finding process. Then the door shows up. I'm standing there looking at it, but I'm not done yet. But I'll never find the door without the Word. I will never finish the seeking process without the Word. It doesn't work any other way. If any, verse 5, James chapter 1, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally, ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Only, verse 6, it must be in faith that he ask, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from God. Not let such a person, I'll read that again, I missed a word. For truly, let not such a person, or a person that wavers, imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from God. For being as he is a man of two minds, he's carnal and spiritual, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Is that not what I just got done saying? Mine's a lot longer than his. But get the same thing. Why? Because he's being carnally minded. He's not standing on anything. He doesn't fulfill the task. He doesn't. He asks, but he doesn't get into the seeking process. Until you dig into the Word, you're not in the seeking process. You can't seek without it. This is so important for us, especially if we're praying specifically, whether praying for the nation or praying for our family or for healing or health. Most people will ask for the healing, but they won't do anything about it. They ask, but that's as far as they get. And they're expecting God to do something that He's already done. See, they're a partner in the healing. They want the results without their part. And it don't work. No matter what it is in life. I'll say it again. We are involved.
Yes, amen.
No matter what it is. Whether it marriage, you do a lot of marriages, Grace. You got to get the two working together. If you don't, no matter what you do or say, it's not going to work. And they both can know and agree with you. But if they don't work on it, nothing happens.
That's right.
And it's just the way it is. If I'm expecting results but not wanting to be involved, it's not going to happen. But Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for our time in the Word. Thank you for teaching us these things.
Lord.
It's not by works, but there's a work involved.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father, that you're teaching us these principles,
Lord,
that we can see and can know and have results.
Yes.
Thank you for teaching your children. And Father, we pray for the services that lie ahead today.
Yes,
we thank you for the word that will come forth through Pastor. We thank you for a hearing ear and a sensitive heart.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Father, for imparting your peace, your presence, your grace upon this day. Thank you for it, sir. We receive this with thanksgiving because we know that you heard our prayer. It is your will for your grace to be upon this house.
Yes.
It is your will for healing, signs, miracles, and
yes,
wonders.
Lord.
And it is your will for revival. You're in place.
Yes.
Nothing to be done. You're ready.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for teaching us how to position ourselves and how to stand and receive. We give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.